And we were talking about individuals not making it to church and whatever excuse that they may have. And my wife sat in the car and was like, what? We get to spend one day of the week fellowshipping, worshiping, hallelujah, the creator of the universe? Do you hear? The creator of the universe. Do you want, whatever you're dealing with, don't you know that we have a creator that created all things, that knows all things, and can cast down whatever little thing you have? We have a big God. And we come in here to give God praise. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy. Can you imagine the creator of the universe? The one that, the reason you breathe, you wouldn't have breath in your lungs if God didn't put it there. One day, he's going to take that air right back out because it belongs to God. And I choose to use my breath to praise the Lord. Now, if I got two people in the house that want to give God some praise, open up your mouth, because whatever you're going through has to break when you shout the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 As long as I got breath in my lungs, I choose to give it to the Lord, because he is worthy. Somebody didn't wake up this morning, and I don't know where they went, but I know while I have breath in my lungs, I will magnify the Lord. Come on, saints, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together, because he is worthy to be praised. Shake off the devil. Shake off that depression. Shake off that anxiety. You better shake off that cancer. Shake off them plights. Shake off that thing that tries to exalt itself over the knowledge of God. And with your mouth, bring it into captivity of the things that God has said. Use your lungs, because you shouldn't be here, honey. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. You know what you did. You shouldn't be here. But it was by the grace of God and by his grace and by his stripes. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but by his stripes, we are healed. And he took them stripes. He took them lashes. So you could be here today. I'm going to give him praise. I don't care how hot it is. Listen, I don't care how hot it is. I came here to give him praise. Come on, somebody. Lord, as long as you've given me breath, hallelujah. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles. You both keep a mic. I'm going to need you today. Open up your Bibles. Go with me to John chapter 5. I'm going to be reading three verses. I'm reading from the NIV version. The NIV version. The NIV version. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 15 through 18. Listen, sometimes I like to teach, sometimes I like to preach, but when I know that I have something from the Lord, a revelation from the Lord, I do not know how this message is going to go today. I don't. I mean, I don't have an outline, but I thank God, because he's my navigational system. He's my God. And I don't know who I'm here for, but if you learn to make God your guide, you would not be dealing with the issues that you're dealing with. But I promise you, after today, when you make him your guide, you will be healed. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know who I'm talking to, but listen, the healing is forever after today. Your healing is forever after today. Do you hear what I'm saying? I just got two believers in here. Go with me to John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 15. Read with me. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work." I could dance right now. I could dance right now. "My Father is always at his work. To this very day. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm telling you, today you're going to get free. Listen to what I'm saying. "My Father is always at his work to this very day. And I too, oh my God, am working. For this very reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking," do you hear what I said? "Breaking the Sabbath, breaking it, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." I want us to go right back to verse 16 and 17 real quick. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, that's the day of rest, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work." Man, I feel a dance coming on. Hey, woo, woo, I feel a dance. Hallelujah. "My Father is always at his work." That's blessing somebody right now. "My Father is always at his work," Holy Ghost. "To this very day, and I too am working." Hallelujah. When he is working, we are resting. When he is working, we are resting. Come on, somebody. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, if you can hear the voice of the Lord today, in this message, you are going to get your healing today. I don't mean no one day touch. I'm talking about lifestyle. You will be healed. Oh, I wish somebody that was in the house that needed some healing today. If you will receive the voice of the Lord, not me, what God says, you will be completely healed. It will be your lifestyle. In the name of Jesus, pray with me. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I'm asking you to show off and show out. I have rested, Lord, I am resting my whole vessel onto you so that you may have your way. I don't know where we're going, but I know you know where to go. And Lord, I'm asking you that we go in the direction that this church is completely healed. Healed of all infirmities, healed of all diseases, healed of all mindset, healed of brokenness, healed of the chains, healed of bondage, healed, Lord, heal us, Lord. After today, Lord, that this church, I decree and declare at the power of Jesus Christ, we will be set free in our minds, in our hearts, and in our bodies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody agree. In Jesus' name. I said somebody open up and agree. In Jesus' name. Touch your neighbor and say, "I love you. You are healed." Touch your neighbor and say, "I love you. You are healed. I love you. love you. Hallelujah. 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 In the last couple weeks, this church, whether you believe it or not, has been in a shift. We've been shifting. Shifted from a bondage space, and the Lord is taking us to a blessed place. Hallelujah. And in our first message, the shift, God gave us about five principles. Hallelujah. But the point of the message was, our enemy is that noise. That agonizing, tormented, tortured noise. And the only thing that can get rid of that noise is the peace of Jesus. That was in the shift. In the shift. Hallelujah. Last week, Sunday, Jesus just tore the thing up. What no preach. It wasn't no preach. Jesus spoke and we all just fell out. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. When he spoke, come on, we just all moved in the name of Jesus. But if you listened in on Wednesday, the word was about the end of the shift. The end of the shift. And the point of that message was our anger. Our anger is causing us to go the wrong way. You're right at the edge of where God has purposed you to be. But once you get to the edge, you go the wrong way because you get mad. Why are you so angry? And the point of that message was that God doesn't desire a sacrifice. He desires compassion. In other words, in order for you to be healed, you got to show mercy. In order to receive mercy, you got to give mercy. In order to get compassion, you got to give compassion. In order to be forgiven, you got to. That was the point of the message. That's how we're going to get our healing. Today, I titled the message, His Shift. It's His Shift. This is where He's taking us on. He's taking us on His shift. And on His shift, we will be healed forever. I want you to stay right there with me. This past week, I had a conversation with an old friend of mine who was an old a church member of an old church. Now, we belonged to the same church, had the same doctrine, had the same ideology, but she went to a different church, so did I. And the church that she belonged to was Seventh-day Adventist. You may have heard of Seventh-day Adventist, that they observe the law, which is the fourth commandment, of the Sabbath day. And if you don't observe that day, it's considered sin. So she was telling me that their believers within that doctrine believes anybody that preaches the gospel on Sunday is a false prophet. And she couldn't wrap her head around that, even though she belonged, hallelujah, to this particular ministry. Amongst other things, this was one thing she just couldn't reconcile. So I'm asking the question, why, I'm going to use Ebonics, why is you there? Because it sounds better. Why are you there? And we begin to talk more about some things of why she's there, her husband's there, and different things of that nature. And we started talking about the truth. But the crux of our conversation was about work and rest. Touch your neighbor and say, work and rest. That was the crux of what she was getting to about resting and working. So I have to give this to you, not in the form of preaching, but in the way that God gave me the revelation, because when he gave me the revelation, I couldn't find a text. I was just like, Lord, so I need this church to understand this is going to be untraditional, but I have to give it to you the way that he gave it to me. The issue is about work and rest. Do we fall under the commandment, the fourth commandment, that we should observe the rest, the Sabbath? I'll let you decide. Let me show you what the Lord gave me. In Genesis chapter 2, before I even go to 2, hallelujah, rest and work. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Hallelujah. And the Spirit hovered over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And then there was light. Hallelujah. And that light was good. And then the Bible goes on in Genesis chapter 1, going on through creation. And God creates that. And that yields seed after its own kind. And the evening, come on, and the morning was the first day. And the evening and the morning was the second day. And he's creating. And the evening and the morning, come on somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you learn, hallelujah, to give him worship at night, come on, what is done in the dark, it has to come out in the light. You got to learn to give him praise in the evening time so it can show up in the morning time. I don't know who that was for. Come on, somebody. Do it in the closet. Come on, in the closet. Hallelujah. The Bible then says, then it was on chapter 2, after he had finished in his creation, hallelujah, he rested from his work of creation. We call it the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. When God got done creating all 6 days, on the seventh day, this is in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says he rested, he ceased from creating. Now, understand this. Some of us think that when we see that when Jesus or when God rested, we think he was chilling. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, honey, after we're creating, making babies, and the baby is in your womb, and once the baby is born, I just start chilling? Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when the babies are born, now that I'm a daddy, now that what has been made is made and it's come forth, and I just say, well, they're here. It's time to chill. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. Come on. I don't know who this is for. A man that don't work, don't eat. Come on, somebody. You better feed them babies. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you need to start working. Hallelujah. I don't know who that was for. So in the Sabbath, in the seventh day, though we see that he ceased from creation, he ceased from creating things, now God was in a state, a condition. Hallelujah. He was in a dimension, a state, a condition. Hallelujah. Of being Lord, of being God, of being King. Hallelujah. Of having fellowship, of managing the order in which he's created. Oh, the work didn't stop. He's now managing it. It's order. And the Bible says that we know that he walked in the cool of the day with Adam. So that means that there was fellowship on the Sabbath. On the seventh day. And all of this is going on in the Garden of Eden. There's, hallelujah, on the day of rest, while they're, hallelujah, where creation has ceased. It's the Sabbath. It's rest. The Sabbath means to rest. And while, hallelujah, man is in rest, he's having fellowship with God. In the garden, he's resting. He's, come on, the Sabbath was made for the man, not the man, for the Sabbath. And he's resting. But what messed up the rest is sin. Once they got in sin, hallelujah, sin made all things that was once order
disorder. Come on, somebody. Once things went from being submitted to God, it went from not being submitted to God. In other words, things went from resting to working. Are you following me? You follow me? Adam went, because of sin, he was no longer in the rest. Because the rest was not just one day. The rest was a condition. It was a lifestyle. Come on, somebody. It was a way of living. It was a condition. And because he obeyed another word, because of sin, hallelujah, it was discord. It was out of order. And the man had to work. And the man had to work. No more rest. Had to work. No more resting. The Bible then goes on and tells us that God began to look for man so that he can give them this promise again, the rest again, because God made the rest for man. The promise is for you, not you for it. Hallelujah. And God began to look for man, and he found Abraham. Bear with me. I want to give it to you the way he gave it to me. Hallelujah. So Abraham was made a promise that through his loins, that he would have a generation that was of the number of the stars. Through Abraham, it was a champion named Moses. Now, Moses is like a foreshadowing of Jesus, because he went into Egypt and rescued the slaves, the Israelites that was bounded by the Israelites. Excuse me, by the Egyptians. You follow me? Moses, hallelujah, had to go in and set the people free. The problem is here. When Moses set the people from Egypt free, the Bible says that they were on their way to the promised land, to the land of rest, the land that was flowing with milk and honey. Honey, you didn't have to work for nothing. It was already set. The wealth of the wicked was shown up, stored up for the righteous. Do you hear what I'm saying? But on their way, the children of Israel got caught up because they were used to working. Do you follow me what I'm saying? They weren't willing to submit to God's work because he was setting them up where they were in his rest, which means that he continued to work even though we still rested. But I don't know who I'm talking to. But the reason why you can't get rest is because you love control. And you won't let God take the wheel so that you can rest, honey. God created you so that you could rest. But you don't want to let go of your control, because when you work, you feel like you deserved it and you get indignant and you feel like you've made it. Hallelujah. But God didn't make you that way. He made you for the rest. He made you for the rest. And so now, the children of Israel, they have seen, watch me here, the Bible says that they saw the miracles in Egypt, they saw the miracles in the wilderness, and they still wouldn't obey the word of God. They still wouldn't do it. After seeing the miracles, how many people you know are on the brink of being successful? They're in their thing. They got married. They got their family. They got their business. They got their promotion. They're at the brink of their thing. But for whatever reason, they're working themselves to death because they don't want to submit to God's word. I'm not talking about you. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about you, because I know when you wake up in the morning, you've dealt with the issues that you're dealing with. Come on, somebody. Maybe I'm the only one that knows when I wake up in the morning, I know exactly the devils that's coming at me. And these, the children of Israel, went around that was an 11-day journey for 40 years. They were traveling around for 40 years. That was an 11-day journey. Because God would not let them over until they submitted to his word. But they didn't want to submit to his word, because submitting to his word gives up their work. I want to supply for myself. I want to do it. I want the wheel. I want control. Because if I got control, I believe I can't hurt myself. But the devil is a liar. Honey, if you don't let go of the wheel, you're going to kill yourself and everybody around you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the children of Israel are walking around in circles, because the Bible then declares Jesus, God gets angry. He gets angry because he's trying to show them this new way, that I'm trying to lead you to my rest, but they don't want to rest. Do you know anybody, hallelujah, they got everything going for them, but they don't know how to just sit down and rest and let God? Not you, not you, not you, not you. They just doing too much. It's like, honey, I need you to slow down. You said you believe in God. Why don't you let God? But instead of them letting God, hallelujah, they just can't take their hand off it. I gotta try. I gotta get this money. I gotta keep doing. I gotta keep trying. And meanwhile, they're losing everything. Hallelujah. And so the children of Israel, they die on the way to the rest. Elder Doug, they preferred bondage over the rest. They preferred slavery over the rest. They preferred chains. I don't know who I'm talking to. You won't get set free of those chains until you rest, honey, because when you rest, he working. Come on, somebody. Now, I want to show you what the Lord showed me. Do me a favor. Go to Charles, I want you to go first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Charles, I want you to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. I want everybody to follow me, because I want to show you this. I want to show you this. I want to show you this. Before I go into this, I need you to understand something. Once it was declared that God told the children of Israel they would not go into the promise, he made an oath. He made a promise that they would not go into rest. He made an oath. I promise they ain't gonna go, because they wanted to go back to work. And God was trying to create a people that would be willing to be in his rest. Do you follow me? So the Bible shows us in Exodus chapter 20 that God had the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And the fourth commandment was to observe the Sabbath. It begins by saying, remember the Sabbath day. keep it holy, do not work, all of your servants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This was a remembrance of God creation. This was a day that they were supposed to keep holy. But understand this, this was not their rest, because resting is a condition. It is a state of being. Do you hear what I'm saying? So they weren't resting, spiritually speaking. They was just observing it. They was observing the day. It was a shadow of things to come, which was Jesus. And I'm about to show you. Do you understand? The law was not their rest. God swore that they would not enter into the promise, that they would not enter into the rest. Do you get it? But the law was for remembrance to observe it. It was a shadow of things to come. Now, who has my scripture? Read it out loud. Stop. Matthew 12, verse 1 through 8. Out loud.
At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David and those who were with him did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and ate the ritual bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, but are blameless?"
Stop right there. So what he's saying is, David broke the law, and the priest broke the law. But understand that the day wasn't the point for the rest. It was the fellowship that they had with Christ is what made it rest. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you submit to Jesus, you are in the rest. You are in the Sabbath. You are in the rest. You are in the Sabbath. So understand that if they weren't breaking anything, because they were serving Christ. And when you're serving Christ, he's working. And you're resting. Do you follow me? You don't follow me yet. You don't follow me yet. Keep reading.
I say to you, in this place, there is one who is greater than the temple.
Stop. So understand, when the priests were in the holies of holies, we have to understand they were in the presence of God. They were in fellowship of God. You understand? He's Lord. They were in his rest. Keep reading.
Test it. If you had known what this meant, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice."
Stop right there. Jesus is saying that I am greater than the temple. So the place that everybody was worshiping at, he's saying that I'm greater than that. I am the Sabbath. I am the rest. You're not breaking anything because you're with me. You are in the state of condition of Sabbath. You are in the dwelling place of my Sabbath. And watch what Charles said. Watch what he says. He says that I prefer, what do you say? Mercy, compassion. In other words, I prefer the thing that doesn't take work, hallelujah, over sacrifice. You see, honey, when you sacrifice something, you can say, "I did that. See, I worked for that. I sacrificed that." But the Lord is saying, I don't want that. I want what's free. I want mercy. I want compassion. You follow me what I'm saying? See, compassion don't cost you nothing. That is when you are in God's rest. See, this is why you have the strength to be able to forgive somebody that betrayed you, that did you dirty. You got to understand, that is the character of God. But how am I able to be in the character of God? I got to be in his rest. But when I'm working, I'm mad, I'm angry, and I'm just walking around, and I'm just mad, and I'm tearing up, I'm killing everybody in front of me, and I'm tearing myself up. But when I rest, he's working. And that is his Sabbath. That is the rest. The Sabbath was made for the man, not the man for the Sabbath. Let's go back to John 5 verses. We're going to go back to our original text. John 5, 15 through 18. And I'll close up here in a second. What you reading from, Maya? NIV? Come on over here. Yeah, read definitely NIV for me. Chapter 5, verse 15 through 18. Okay. You guys still with us? This blessing somebody?
The man went away and told the Jewish leaders.
Preacher? No. Preacher? I need you to declare and decree when you preach that word. I want demons to tremble when you preach that word.
The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Woo!
Because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Mm. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God.
Do you see what I'm saying? Now do you see it clearly? Jesus is breaking the Sabbath because they are sick. The Sabbath was meant for a memorial. It was to observe. It was to understand it. It was to respect it. But it didn't have any power in it. The power is in Jesus. He is the Sabbath. When you submit to him, he's working while you're resting. Do you see it? I want to play some more. You want to play some more? Jesus. Do you want to play a little bit more? You want to leave it alone? Jesus. Relying on this word. Go to. I want to show you something. So you can see it again. Go to Matthew chapter 9, Maya. Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you something. I want you to go to verse. This is so fun. I want you to, preacher. Y'all put your hands together for this preacher over here. That's our very own right there. Hallelujah. Okay. Go to Matthew. Hallelujah. Jesus, where you at? Where you at? No, you're not there. Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
You said verse 12.
No. We in the 30s. Hold on. We in the 30s. Come on. I can't even find it. That's all right. I'm going to find it. Give us a second, y'all. Hallelujah. According to your faith. Jesus. No, it's Matthew 9. I know it is. Jesus, turn this on. Which one you say? Yeah, yeah. What verse is that? Verse 13, 9 and 13. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Go to verse 12 first. Okay. So Jesus is with the tax collectors and the sinners. He chilling. He chilling, Maya, right? Like a villain, right? And he chilling with the tax collectors. He eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. Yeah. Watch this. Go ahead and read verse 12.
On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor,
come on,
but the sick."
Come on, stop right there. This is how we're going to get our healing. Jesus is saying it right here. It's in the rest. This is how we're going to get our healing. It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick does. But it was the sick, the sinners, and the tax collectors that did not mind going to Jesus, which means that they were in his rest. They were in his domain. They were in that state of condition. They were in the rest. Keep reading.
"But go and learn what this means.
Ooh.
I desire mercy,
Ooh.
Not sacrifice."
Stop right there. You hear what I'm saying? I desire what's free. I desire what you should do when you are in your rest, when you don't have to do anything. Honey, you ain't got to pay that debt. You ain't got to do nothing. Who am I talking to? You don't have to pay the debt. He's paid it for you. Why are you being the sacrifice? That's his job. Jesus was the sacrifice. He doesn't prefer the sacrifice because he is. Stop working and start resting. Hallelujah. As a trainer, as a fitness trainer, I'm closing. We have too much fun in here, y'all. As a fitness trainer, look at that preacher. Y'all better give her a hand to that preacher. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. As a fitness trainer, one of the major things that is in my profession is that when we exercise, yeah, we're going to exercise. We're going to get you fit. We're going to tear those muscles up. But the most important thing about growth is when you rest. The muscles don't grow unless you rest. Now I want to give somebody something prophetic here. The resting grows your muscles, but the key word is it heals. Honey, you cannot heal until you rest in the Lord, until you're willing to rely on the word of God. Honey, you're going to continue to keep working, and that thing that you're playing with in your head, that thing that you're playing with in your heart, that stuff that is going on in your body, honey, that stuff will not heal until you rest. Because when you rest, he's working. That's the Sabbath. Do you understand? I need you to cue up some music for me, because this is the most important part of this message. I'm not playing games. I'm not playing games. He don't want your sacrifice. He don't want, honey, it's nothing you can do for this. We are saved through grace by faith. Not by works, not by the works, lest we could boast. It is free. You got to understand, our daddy, the creator of all the universe, we got a rich daddy. Honey, you ain't got to work a day in your life. If you learn to rest in him. And when I say rest in him, let me be logical. Because y'all go quit y'all job. Am I wrong, Jeannie? They quit their job. Rely on his word. If you rely on his word, honey, you could get some sleep at night. But the reason why you're suffering from those anxiety attacks and you can't sleep at night is because you don't trust his word. That's why you're going around in circles. When you're, the Israelites were at the border of the promise. And God didn't even let them see it. He didn't even let them see it. Honey, you are at the border. Well, Pastor, what I gotta do? How hard I gotta work? You gotta give up. That's how hard you work. Give up and rely on his word. Because he's a man that he won't lie. He's the creator. Because if he says a thing, it has to exist. So he can't lie. You feel me? As soon as he says it, it is. So whoever you are, God is waiting on you to rest so he can give you the word. Church, I want to say something to you with the bottom of my heart. I love being your pastor. I love you. I love you. This church, God has shown me, we a hurt church. Let me say this, was. But today, I said today. Okay, I got 50%. Today, our lifestyle will be in the rest, which means that we will always be healed. Okay. I got three people that believe that. I said that if we rely on his word, that we will always be healed. We don't have to worry about one day, because every day we are in the rest. What are you saying, Pastor? Every day is the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was made for you. LD Vet, I need you up here. I want to anoint your hands. Lady A, I want to anoint your hands. Elder, I see you, Ragsdale. I want to anoint your hands. Listen to me. Listen to me. I need you to hear me, and I need you to hear me good. And I say this with the Holy Spirit. These three women have the gift. Do you hear what I just said? The gift of healing. These three women. I know there's more, but God showed me these. Church, if you're somebody that this very word that I just preached to you alone did not heal you, these three women has the gift of healing, and when they lay hands on you, if you believe. I said earlier today, if you hear the voice of God, you'll be healed. That's what I said. If you don't hear the voice of God, but if you hear the voice of God today, you will live in your Sabbath, which means that you will always be healed. Let me anoint your hands.
We're gonna be free. We're gonna be free today. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Free today. Yeah. Give me that. We
be setting the captives free today.